good morning. Oh, I heard two of you. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. Good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship. Several things we'd like to announce as we get started today. We want to find out first who is in worship. The way we do that are the pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We ask members and guests, take that pew pad. Write your name down. Give us any contact information you choose. Also, check the appropriate boxes. That helps us find out some information about you. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. Once it gets to that, the last person, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning. And we do ask, once it gets back to that first person, if you could rip out the pages that were used so our ushers can collect those at the end of the service, that would be very helpful. Thank you for that. Several announcements that you'll find in the bulletin under upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week, we want to make you aware of. First of all, we are having children's time today, so we invite all the kids to come meet with me for a few minutes right down there. Speaking of kids, we are having children's day camp this week. Starts tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And it goes from 9 until 3 each day. Registration for that is available on the website. All the information is available under the children's section of the website. So we encourage you to check that out. This Wednesday, we're going to have another installment of our summer Bible study series. It's called Forgotten God. It will begin at 6:30. And combining with that, we are having the best pound cake in the world contest. And how we're going to know if it's the best pound cake in the world is that you bring it and Raymond gets to judge it. Okay? He's going to judge the best pound cake in the world, and he might allow some of his other staff maybe to help in that judging process. But we want you to bring your pound cakes Wednesday night, and we will enjoy in time of fellowship together, as well as studying Forgotten God, which is our summer series on the Holy Spirit. And so we hope that you come this Wednesday at 6:30 to be a part of all the fun that we'll be having. Let's see. Other announcements. On Friday, a small group is traveling to Winterville. Winterville is the place that a couple weeks ago our church went and started working on a home there for a lady by the name of Miss Beatrice House. And we need some work done this Friday. Start putting in furniture, hanging curtains, stocking the kitchen, things of that sort. So if you're interested in going, if you could call the church office, Wilbert McBride would be driving a van, and we'll be just having a work day down there. Now, that's subject to change. They may not quite be ready for us, so we want you to know from the beginning we need a little bit of flexibility. But they are headed this Friday, so give the church office a call, and we'll put you on the list.
Just a quick reminder that tonight will be our first meeting of the College Park Book Club. We have been reading Same Kind of Different as Me. We will meet at 7 o'clock tomorrow night in a as-yet-to-be-determined room, possibly the conference room. I know I have a couple of ladies that have said they are interested in meeting on a day during the week. If you are one of those ladies and you can do that this week, if you'll come see me right afterwards, and we will try to make sure we all can find the same day to meet. And that would be lovely. And I'll work that into whatever your schedule is this week. So come see me if you are one of those. And if you're able to meet us tomorrow night, I would love to have you. I think it's going to be some good discussion and a good time.
Okay. Also, next Sunday, we're having our annual summer pool party from 4 until 7. We want you to come and be a part of that. We will serve hot dogs and hamburgers at 5:30, and we want you just to come enjoy the fellowship at Town and Country Pool next Sunday afternoon from 4 until 7. Several things that we're collecting right now. First of all, you see these shoes up here. We are WBFJ is collecting new shoes to hand out to children, and we are inviting all of us to participate in this. They are needing new shoes. slightly used do not count anymore due to regulations. So we're encouraging to go out and find some shoes for children. Information can be found right outside of Smith Hall on that. There's a table there with all the information. So we hope that you're able to be a part of that. Also, our sister church, Watermark, which is in Troutman, North Carolina, we have assisted them in an effort they've been doing for several years. They collect school supplies and pass out to children in around their church. And every summer, we have participated in that in the last several years. And so we want you to start looking for the flyers and finding deals on pencils and paper and any kind of school supplies that you're able to provide. Make note that we'll be collecting those very soon and hope that you start making plans for that. I think that's all the announcements. We do want to say a special welcome this morning to our guests. We're especially blessed by your presence this day, and you have given us your information on the pew pad, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. If you're a guest, ushers are going to come down the aisles now. Just raise your hand right where you are. If you're a guest, they will recognize you and give you a welcome packet. Inside this welcome packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are so thankful that you are here this morning and ready to worship together. Worshiping together, it's what we're supposed to do, right? We are the body of Christ. All the hands and the feet and the arms and the legs and the hands, I said hands, head, nose, all the different parts of the body. This week we had opportunity to go to youth camp. And College Park joined with four other churches for a great week of worship and Bible study and recreation and just having a great time together. And it was just very interesting to watch five churches come together that didn't have a lot of interaction before and to see how God could use that. When people are willing to be used by God, He will do mighty things. Are you willing this morning? Are you ready? Worship is not a passive thing, it's an active thing. Our God is alive and well, and He wants you to worship Him because He loved us first. Are you ready for worship? Let's see what He's ready to tell us this morning. Pray with me. Father, in the stillness of this moment, when we stop to think about all the reasons we have to worship You. We could be here for days just listing them. For all the ways that You have blessed us. For all the ways that You have given us all that we need. Father, so many times our words are inadequate. And You know this. And that's why You want our hearts first. You want our very souls completely turned over to You. This is what we're going to do this morning. As we worship, as we sing, as we pray, as we listen intently for what You want to teach us this morning, may it be done to glorify You and You alone. Be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. the kids, come on down, especially the ones in the balcony that I'm looking at up there in the balcony that I'm pointing at right now. Christian, I'm talking to you. Isn't Christian up there? Come on down. We'll wait. We'll wait. Y'all want to wait for Christian to come down, and Alex is going to come down with him? See? Peer pressure right there. Peer pressure. All right. How's everybody this morning? Good? Is everybody good? Let's just kind of stare at them as they come walking down the hall, down the aisle, okay? Just look at them as they come down. You watching
them?
Don't need to stare at them. Why? Okay, don't stare at them. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Here they come. Hey, hey guys. So glad that y'all are here this morning. All right, I have a question. I have a question. Everybody look this way. I have a question. When you think about God, who is a person you think about? Is there a person that you think about? Your mom? That's a great one. Okay, Aaron, you think about God, you think about Aaron Rodgers. Okay, all right. Because he's a Christian or he's just a really good quarterback? Okay, all right. So who else? Who else? When you think about God, is there a person that you think about? Your mom? Absolutely, absolutely. What else? Okay. Sometimes, you know, who I think about? Miss Leanne. Do you think about Miss Leanne? Teaching you Sunday school and all the things that she teaches? Okay. If you think about God, who are some people you think about? Okay. You think about, let's see, you think about Mr. Charlie, Mr. Jim. You think about Pastor Raymond. Yeah. But you know, when I think about God, you know who I think about? You know who I think about? You. I think about you. I think about you. But why? Why would I think about you when I think about God? Any idea? Any idea? Because when I look at you, when I look into your eyes, I can see God. When I look at how good you are and how kind you can be, I see God. Jesus tells a story in the Bible. It comes from the book of Matthew. And he talks about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's kind of a tiny little thing. It's little. That's about right. It's a small thing. But God can use that to do amazing things. Just like, you know, you're growing right now. You're not as big as you're going to be. But you know what? God can use you right now to do amazing things by loving kids, you loving other people, by doing what your parents want you to do, by honoring them. When I see you, I see God. I see you so clearly that he's already doing so many cool things through you. And I want you to believe that when I think about God, I think about you. And I think about that story of the mustard seed and how it grew to be big things. You can do big things right now. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fact that even though we may be small physically, we can still do big things. And God, I thank you that these children are here this morning. And I pray that you give them the strength to know that where they are, they can do amazing things for you. By loving you, by loving their friends, by loving their family, by reading their Bible, by doing good things. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seat now.
I want to let you know of a prayer concern in our church family for the Wells family. Our dear friend Hugh Wells passed away on Friday night at hospice home and is in a pretty good place today, and we give thanks for that. But I want your prayer for his wife Eva and his daughter Linda and all of the Wells family. We're going to have a service of celebration and worship for Hugh here in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning. The family's going to receive visitors beginning at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And the family also wanted us to let you know that Hugh's body will be lying in state at Salem Chapel on Rinalda tomorrow. But please be in prayer for the Wells family. Hugh's life was 93 years long. And it occurs to me that in the life of a believer, whether it be 93 years or these beautiful children or someone who's a new Christian, maybe at an age between 0 and 93, about how powerful God's Word is and what it means to us that we have God's Word right in front of us that we can see and touch and hear and understand so that we may grow closer to Him. So it's good that we share Scripture as part of worship. And this morning we'll be reading from the New Testament in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. And we're following along in the Revised Common Lectionary. Last week I read the passage right before this, leading up until through verse 25. And I'll be starting at verse 26. So this is from Romans 8, beginning at verse 26. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
May we continue in prayer. Lord, thank you for those beautiful words that you blessed us with in Scripture as your Son taught us how to pray. And those beautiful and meaningful words are powerful to us because they represent not only a model prayer, but also a model relationship with you. Lord, first of all, we're so thankful to be able to speak directly to you, to have access to communicate with our Lord and our Creator, that we can speak directly with you, have fellowship directly with you. That is a powerful and humbling thing, Lord, and we thank you for it. The prayer spoken by Jesus teaches us that it is good that we acknowledge who you are as our Lord, the Creator of all things, the Sustainer of life. Lord, we owe everything that we have to you. And even though we fail to do this as often as we should, we acknowledge who you are and what you mean to us. And it is good that we honor you in this way as part of worship and as part of our daily lives. Lord, forgive us when we do not come to you as often as we should, when we do not honor you and acknowledge you. We read from Scripture that your Son did it continually, not only when he prayed, but in his life and his walk every single day. Lord, forgive us when we do not do that, because every day that we have is a gift from you, and we should start every day by acknowledging who you are and honoring you with our words and with our act of prayer and worship. Lord, the model prayer prayed by your Son also teaches us that we would pray for your daily sustenance, your daily leadership and guidance, that you may give us what we need. Sometimes we get upset, Lord, because we don't think we have what we need. We may feel cheated. We may feel like things are not going the way we want. Lord, help us to trust you more, to know that you know more than we do, that you have a plan for our lives that is far greater than what we could design. Lord, we pray for all of us here that today and tomorrow and this week that you would give us what we need, our daily bread, that we may survive and sustain and be in your will. Lord, we pray for your guidance and protection in all the things we deal with, easy and difficult, good and bad, expected and unexpected. We know that you love us. We know that you abide with us every single day. Help us not to forget that, but help us to trust in you, to look to you, and to communicate with you so that we may make sense of what's going on in our lives and to see the work that you're doing in us and around us and through other people, and that we may be who you want us to be each and every day. Lord, guide us, protect us, sustain us, and continue to love us, even when we're unlovable and even when we have not followed this model for our lives and our relationship with you. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the model that he gave us in these few verses of Scripture. This very powerful, has so much meaning for us. And help us to live out that motto as we seek to grow closer to you. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
I'd like to take a moment to share how thankful I am for the kind of teaching that we have in this church, the kind of teaching we have from the pulpit and have had for so many years. And in our Sunday school classes, where we have a culture here where the hard truths are discussed, where we're called to understand what God has in mind for us, a place where we can share not only our insights, but also our concerns, our confusion. And it's a place where we can grow and come closer to God's will. This week I realized there are churches in this country, in this world, where this climate does not exist. People somehow feel that God has called them to carry automatic weapons to a children's camp, or to carry protest signs to a funeral. I am grateful to be at a church where when I leave on Sunday, I am feeling convicted, not self-righteous. Where I feel called to change me rather than fuss about them. This is a gift we have. This is something we need to be thankful for. It's a way that we can get closer to God. And we need to be grateful to our pastors, to our Sunday school teachers, to our fellow members of this congregation for helping us figure out what God really wants for us to do, how we can get better, rather than just fussing about what other people are doing. Can we pray? Lord, we thank you for the leadership of Christian friends. We thank you for the staff. We thank you for Sunday school teachers. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and for your word. Lord, we thank you for the many ways you've blessed us. We can be such a force for you in the community. We can show that Jesus brings love into our hearts. He came here to demonstrate grace, incomprehensible grace. Lord, let us carry that message and let us give all that we have of our time, of our resources, to help spread that wonderful news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In 2005, the band Coldplay released a song that probably those in the first four pews here will recognize a lot quicker than others, but it was in 2005, so I think it's played on Oldies Channel now, but so 6 years ago. But the name of the song was entitled Things I Don't Understand. And the lyrics go like this: how tides control the sea and what becomes of me, how little things can slip out of your hand, how often people change, no two remain the same, why things don't always turn out as you planned. These are things I don't understand. Then the next verse goes on: how infinite is space and who decides your fate, why everything will dissolve into sand, how to avoid defeat where truth and fiction meet, why nothing ever turns out as you planned. You know, and as I listen to that song, there's a lot of things I don't understand. And it just reminds me of a lot of the questions I have. I don't understand all there is to know about life. I don't know all there is to understand about God. And there's a lot of things I don't understand, but on kind of the less meaningful side of things I don't understand, I don't understand how remote controls work. I mean, think about it. I mean, we know that they do. And it's amazing what you can do by remote control. And I've had people explain the science to me, but I still really don't understand. Or how you can be at a concert and you can hold up your phone, which has a camera on it, which is amazing in and of itself. And you record the concert, just a little snippet of it. And then you type in, "Dear son, having a great time at the concert. Wish you were here. Study hard." And you can send that to your son. And when he gets it, he can actually, it looks like something. You know, and I won't tell you what the reply that comes back, but it's amazing. I don't understand the technology that allows us to do that. Another thing I don't understand, I don't understand how Amelia Earhart could just disappear. And for some of you are going, who's Amelia Earhart? I mean, that's a whole different question, but how could Amelia Earhart just disappear? Complete. And not just her, how about a whole civilization? The Mayan civilization disappeared. How can a whole civilization disappear? How about things related to creation? How do bears know when it's time to wake up? Do they have a monitor or the squirrels come get it? How do they know when it's time to wake up? How does tree sap rise in the tree? Now we know that it does. We know what time of year it does. But science has still not been able to explain to us how it does it. It defies everything that's logical. I could go on naming thing after thing, especially in creation, that I don't understand. In general, I don't understand the vast complexity of creation. And there are people a lot brighter than me that don't understand it. They're seeking to get a better understanding of it, but they don't understand all of creation. I'll tell you something else I don't understand. Why God would love me so much and would love you so much that he would give his son. I do not understand that kind of love. I do not understand grace to its fullest extent. I love you all, but I'm not going to give up my son for you. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. So therefore, I can't understand what kind of love it takes to give your only son. There's so much we don't understand. So much. And I think because we don't understand, we can empathize with the poor disciples because there was a great deal that they just didn't understand. And this morning, I want to read a passage of scripture to you. It's from Matthew chapter 13. Those of you that were here last week, you will recognize it as kind of being, you know, interchangeable different sections that we pulled out and didn't read last week. We're going to go ahead and read those this week because it kind of fits a little bit with the topic from last week. Last week we talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds, and then Jesus' explanation of that. We're going to pick up the parts that we didn't read last week. Matthew chapter 13, we'll read verses 31 through 33, and then we'll skip down to verse 44 and read out the chapter. So, verse 31 of Matthew chapter 13. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch on its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. And then skipping down to verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is also like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Smart guy. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Jesus asked the disciples, have you understood all of this? He asked them that after he had told them several parables. And in the parable, he is describing God's reign in the world. And he told them the kingdom was like a mustard seed. He told them it's like yeast. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like fine pearls, or it's like a net that's been tossed into the sea where the good catch is separated from the bad afterwards. And I imagine after hearing all this, the disciples' heads are just, I mean, they're spinning. The kingdom's like, what? I mean, what did he say? Did you catch that? And they, like they wanted to know how Jesus was going to change the world. The kingdom is like what? What is a mustard seed? What does yeast have to do with changing the world? You see, they wanted to know how Jesus was going to help them get rid of the oppressors, i.e. the Roman Empire, anybody that was messing with them. They wanted to know how Jesus was going to bring about a revolution that would change the world as they experienced it. In short, they wanted to know how Jesus would overthrow the worldly government that ruled over them. And how could mustard seed, how could yeast, how could some hidden treasure or pearls or sorting out the catch of the day, how was that going to help them? But Jesus, he wasn't concerned. He wasn't concerned with revolution against earthly powers, because replacing one human institution with another human institution, even if the new institution is more benevolent and generous to the least of these than the previous generation, that wouldn't usher in God's realm. Jesus would have completely understood the sentiment behind the song The Who when they sang, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I mean, it's just more of the same. Instead, Jesus was inviting his disciples and us to view the world in a different light. He wanted to change our perspective. You see, it's not big revolutions that change the world, but little revolutions within the hearts and the minds of every human being in the world. It's kind of like last week when we talked about internalizing the parable of the wheat and tares. You remember that? In order to understand it externally, you first have to internally apply it. That's what Jesus is talking about. Small things like mustard seed become imposing bushes, 6-7 feet high, and they spread like wildfire. There's a very interesting video that we showed this morning in Recreation, and I challenge you, go online and look at it. It's www.recreation.ws. Watch the video. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating look at just the mustard seeds and what Jesus was really trying to say by using that analogy. It's like just a little bit of yeast can yield an enormous amount of bread, enough to feed multitudes. It's like the kingdom is of such great value that when we find it, we want to go and sell all that we have so that we can own it. Worldly goods are nothing when compared to the spiritual riches that God's realm brings to us and to the world. That's what Jesus wanted them to understand. God helps us sort out our daily catch, tossing the bad things aside that would distract us from working to accomplish God's will in our life as well as in the world. That's what Jesus is hoping that we would get. I'm reminded of another parable. The author is unknown. It was one that was not told by Jesus. Other traditions tell the story, but it's a wonderful story. A lady is walking along and she finds a precious stone. She finds the stone, she puts it in her bag, and she continues on her way. The next day, a hungry traveler passed her on the road. And the traveler asked her, said, "Ma'am, do you have any food? I'm hungry. Do you have food?" And she begins to look through her bag. And as she's looking through her bag, the traveler sees the precious stone in her bag. And he said, "Could I have that stone instead of food?" And without hesitation, the lady took the stone out and handed it to him. The traveler left, obviously elated. He had something better than food now. He had something that he could sell and end all of his earthly troubles, not only his hunger, but then he was set for life. And he hurried off to sell the stone and enjoy his newfound riches. A couple days later, again the woman is walking down the same road and passed the same man. He approached her and handed her the precious stone back. He said, "I had intended to sell this stone and become rich. But after I thought about it, I realized that you can give me something even more precious." "What would that be?" asked the lady. And he replied, "I want whatever it is that you have that made you able to give me that stone without hesitation." Jesus said, "Have you understood all of this?" Jesus asked his disciples and he asked us, have we understood that God's realm is not about worldly riches, but about the abundant riches of the Holy Spirit? Have we understood that God's realm is about gladly giving ourselves and all that we have to those who really need it? Have we truly understood, as Paul told the Romans and Jason read a few minutes ago, that no earthly power can separate us from God's love, from God's realm? The disciples said they understood. They said that they got it, but then they and those who came after them for the next few hundred years proved that they really didn't get it. Church fathers spent centuries arguing over Jesus' divinity and humanity, over how and why his death was redemptive, over whether his mother really was a virgin, and over a myriad of other doctrinal arguments instead of paying attention to the mustard seed, the yeast, the hidden treasure, or the pearl of great value that needed to be planted, cultivated in their own hearts. And while they argued, people starved. Physically and spiritually, people starved. And my question is, what part of the phrase, fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, what part of that phrase did they not get and do we not get? Twice in this chapter, once we read last week, once we read this week, twice in chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus uses that phrase to describe what will happen to those who do not belong to him. And yet we troll along merrily, enjoying our own lives, like there's no consequence to our failure to proclaim Christ to those who need to hear. And I'm sorry, but we don't get the luxury of rewriting this passage just because it doesn't fit our kinder, gentler, politically correct theology. We don't have that luxury. Jesus said, "Have you understood all of this?" "Yes, Lord, we have." "Yes, Lord, we've understood it." "Yes, Lord, we have," only when we spend less time arguing about whatever it is we're arguing about that day and instead get to work obeying his commandment to love each other and stop pursuing worldly ways to bring about God's realm. Have you understood all of this? We'll see if you have. More importantly, he'll see if you have. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we confess that we don't understand. And most of the time we really don't get it. But we know that you have promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to correct us, to explain these things, to help us work it out in our lives daily. So God, we pray now that your Spirit would be real in our lives, that we would learn to hear the bidding of the Holy Spirit, that we would learn to know what it's like to walk by the Spirit. Father, that's probably the only way we'll truly begin to get it. We ask now that you would forgive us where we fail you, and we fail you miserably. We ask that you would empower us with your love so that we can begin to see others through your eyes, that we can begin to give to others as you give so freely to us. God, help us to love unconditionally as you've given to us. Father, all of these things we ask in the name of your Son, who you gave, and he gave freely. Amen. I surrender all, I think, is the hymn of invitation. And that should be your prayer. That should be your promise. That should be your pledge to God. So as you sing, I'm not going to direct the invitation in any other way like I usually do. I want to ask you, just as you sing these words, respond to what the Holy Spirit leads you to respond. Let's stand and sing together now. Having sung that song, if you would like to talk with me about your relationship with Jesus Christ, I would love to do that. Just give me a call. I'll be glad to meet with you this week, wherever you would like to. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, you are such a loving God, and we know that. And as we leave from this place, we pray that we would be perfect reflections of you, if that's possible. God, we pray that you would walk with us, guide our steps, help us to love others as you've loved us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.